apologize. Let's try that again. Romans 5, verses 18 through 21. Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so, through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Pastor.
Thank you, Chris. You did good. You didn't turn too red in that. So we are glad that you're here this morning, and it's always a real privilege to gather together to worship, and especially to know that when I stand up and I look out over our group like this, that I know that the hand of God is at work. And I know that God has brought you here this morning. And I praise God and I give Him glory because we're here because God wants us here. And we trust Him for that and we glorify Him in that. Let's bow our heads right now. We need His help as we study this passage, Romans 5. So let's ask for that help right now. Father, we're truly grateful to be here. And we know that You work in the hearts of men and women. And we know, Father, that You would speak to us. And we know that right before us, in this book that we call the Bible, we have Your Word. And it's revealed. It's been given. It's been given in great grace and mercy that we might know You. And we might know Jesus Christ. And we might know of forgiveness of sins and righteousness, and joy in eternal life. So, Father, we praise You and give glory to You. And I would ask this morning, Father, that by Your hand of grace, that You would just help us to focus on the truth that's before us. We know that Your people are transformed by the Spirit through the Word. So guard our thinking. Keep us focused upon the truth, upon You, and upon Your great work of mercy through Jesus Christ. And God, we look forward to how You will use this word. Help us to continue to worship, to submit to You, to be humble before You, and to exalt You as we look in Your word today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 If you're counting, this morning, we have actually devoted four sermons to the last part of Romans chapter 5. When Chris got up to read, I thought, Chris left, we were in Romans, we're still in Romans, and we may be in Romans a little bit longer. But yet, four sermons in the last part of Romans chapter 5. And the main reason we do this, as I was reviewing some notes this week, the main reason we do this, we could have shared the big picture of these truths probably in a couple sermons, but yet the main reason we do this is because the Apostle Paul is helping us to understand in a deeper way the importance and the significance of our justification. Without question, Paul's main point is to help us see the positive work of Jesus Christ for us. Now let me give you an example. Look at verse 15. Romans chapter 5 verse 15. Paul says, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. Notice he focuses our attention on Jesus Christ. Look at verse 16. The free gift which came from many offenses resulted in justification. The free gift of righteousness came through Jesus Christ. Look at verse 17. Much more, those who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Look at verse 18. Even so, through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. One man's righteous act. Who was that man? Jesus Christ. Verse 19. So also by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. And who is that one man? Jesus Christ. Verse 21. Even so, grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, when you read through Romans chapter 5, verses 12 to 19, or verses even through verse 21, you can't help but to see the emphasis of the Apostle Paul. It's centered on Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ. I hope each week that we've spent in Romans chapter 5 that you've left here saying, Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ. It's about Jesus Christ. Because it is. It's about Jesus. So these are the positive effects of Christ's righteousness and God's work for us through Jesus Christ in justification. But now as we come to the end of this passage, we need to stop and we need to consider the negative situation behind all of these positive statements. So we've got the positive, that's in Jesus Christ. We need to see the negative. We need to understand how that Adam's sin affects the whole human race. So let me take a moment and let me summarize what we've learned in this passage so far. First of all, we have learned that just as the sin of Adam brings condemnation to all who were in Adam, so the righteousness of Jesus Christ brings justification to all who were in Christ through faith. See, that's the comparison that Paul gives us in this passage. He's comparing the work of Adam with the work of Jesus Christ. And I hope you see that because that's a big point in this passage. But then second, we have stressed as we've worked our way through this passage that our justification is not based on deeds that we have done in righteousness, but on the deeds of Jesus Christ in righteousness. So it's in Christ. And we've seen that the reason that God saves us this way is because it corresponds to what happened to us in Adam. God saves us in a certain way in Christ because it's related to how we are lost or how we're sinners in Adam. There's the correspondence. There's the comparison. And then third, we've also learned that our condemnation most deeply, and I stress that, most deeply is not based on individual deeds done by us in sin, but on the first sinful deed of Adam. And since condemnation came to us through Adam's sin, justification comes to us through Christ's righteousness and not through our righteous deeds. And so again, this is the comparison. This is what Paul's doing. He's helping us understand justification. So as we wrap this teaching up this morning, let's once again consider our relationship to Adam. Because we need to pause, we need to think about this relationship to Adam and the effect that it has on us and on the world. Now please know as we look at this passage and we touch on certain truths as we again understand this relationship to Adam, that what we're about to consider is a huge question about what it means to be human. and why the world is the way that it is. Now, if you stop just for a moment and you consider that statement, why, what it means that we're human and why the world is the way it is, then we're about to talk about some real big things this morning, aren't we? And Paul talks about it right here in this passage. He helps us understand this. See, how you think about this question will have a ripple effect on the way that you think and the way that you act about everything in life. So this is getting bigger. This will affect the way that you raise your children. This will affect your relationship with other people. This will affect evangelism. Folks, this will affect our response to law and government. Now let's put the negative parts of this text that's before us. Let's put them in our thoughts, and then let's make some observations that are important to our lives. Now I want you to notice the negative statements that Paul makes about our connection to Adam and his sin. Look at verse 12. Paul says, therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. That one man is Adam. And if we only looked at Romans chapter 5, verse 12, Romans chapter 5, verse 12 gives us an overview of the world today. And what's happening in the world today, and how people live in the world today, and how we live in the world today. Look at verse 14. Paul says, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam. Now notice again, Adam is mentioned, and this is important. This verse is important because Paul is saying that the consequence of Adam's sin, which is death, was experienced by those who had not done individually what Adam did. In other words, Paul is stressing then in this statement that it's not our own individual sins that bring out that first and deepest condemnation on us. Now please understand this. I'm not laying aside the importance. Paul's not laying aside the importance of individual sins because they're serious. It's a problem. But yet he's focusing on this truth that our deepest problem, our first and our deepest problem, is our relation to Adam and his sin. That's the deepest problem that we have. The point is that Adam's sin is the most fundamental problem, not our sins. And again, I stress to you, our sins are a problem, but the deepest problem is that we're related to Adam, and we're related to Adam's sin. Just as Christ's righteousness is the fundamental solution to our problem, not our righteousness, it's Christ's righteousness. Look at verse 15. For if by the one man's offense many died. And who's the one man? Adam. Verse 16. For the judgment which came from one offense resulted in condemnation. And the one offense was whose? Adam's. Verse 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, and that one man is Adam. Verse 18, therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation. There it is again, it's Adam's offense. Verse 19, for as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. And there it is again. So you look at this passage, and you look at it with open eyes by the help of God. You see two people. You see two men mentioned over and over in this passage. And who were those men? Jesus Christ and Adam. Jesus Christ and Adam. So there's the comparison. We put all these statements together, And Paul teaches then two important things about our condition in relation to Adam. First of all, the power of sin enters human life and corrupts and depraves our human nature. So our human nature is corrupted. It's depraved. That's connected with Adam. And second, our condemnation, the punishment of sin, that condemnation is owing, first of all, to Adam's sin, not our individual acts of sinning. First and deepest to Adam's sin. Now, what I'd like to do is look at these two truths in some detail and help us understand this morning why they are important. So we would summarize it with this statement: we sinned in Adam's sin. We sinned in Adam's sin. Now go back to verse 12. Paul says, through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. Now, how do we understand this? We've touched on this in previous sermons. How do we understand this? Without getting too specific and too detailed and looking at several different views concerning this, I think that we can say conclusively this morning that God ordains that there be a union of some kind that makes Adam's sin to be our sin so that our condemnation is just. Now, if we leave here this morning and you corner me and you say, how are we supposed to understand this? I don't understand this, Pastor. Then I'm going to say to you, I don't know. I don't know exactly how God does this, but I do know the evidence of the Scripture is clear that there is a union between me and Adam. There is a connection between you and Adam, the first man. And God has ordained this in such a way that because of this connection that I have with Adam and you have with Adam, that Adam's sin became my sin. And the judgment, the condemnation that came to Adam came to me and came to you because of this union, because of this connection with Adam. Look at verse 16. Paul says, for the judgment which came from one offense resulted in condemnation. Now look carefully at that statement because I see three truths there, three truths in that sentence. First of all, notice that there is one offense or one transgression or one sin of Adam. He's talking about the sin of Adam. But then notice there's a consequent judgment that follows. He talks about judgment. To understand that word judgment, think about a legal action. That's what a judgment is. A judgment takes place, a legal action. And then notice, number three, that there's a resulting condemnation, and the condemnation is the punishment. So you have a sin, you have a legal action, a judgment, and then you have a punishment. And frankly, that takes place all the time in jurisprudence. I mean, that's what happens. And yet we see it in that verse. So we ask ourselves, then what is this judgment? Because Paul says, for the judgment which came from one offense. And I think it would be best to see this judgment as the counting or the imputing of Adam's sin as our sin based on that union that we have with Adam. So there's Adam's sin, and then the judgment is that Adam's sin is counted as ours. And it's counted as ours because we are joined to Adam. He was the first man. And if you want to understand this a little, do you realize that every one of you came from Adam? That all of us have come from Adam? He is the father of every person here. He is the first of the human beings, and we have followed, and therefore we're all connected with Him. And yet because of this connection and because of this union, then there is He sinned, and there's a judgment, and the judgment is that God has imputed His sin to us and counted His sin as our sin because of this union. And that judgment results in what? In condemnation, punishment. And what is that condemnation? It's death. It's death. And so, folks, that means that our condemnation then does have a basis in our sin. But it's not ours in the way that all of our individual sins are ours. The sin is ours based on our union with Adam. And it's through this one transgression, Adam's transgression, that condemnation resulted to all men. So that's the first thing that we need to understand this morning. We've touched on it in the last few weeks, and I'm just bringing it together this morning. We need to understand our relation to Adam, because we are in Adam, because we are connected to Adam. Then Adam's sin and the resulting condemnation was passed to us. And by the way, every one of us, all of us, because we're all connected to Adam. And it's become our sin and our condemnation. The sin and the condemnation belongs to every member of the human race. And if you're a member of the human race this morning, you're connected to Adam, and his sin is yours. And that condemnation is yours. Now let's consider the second thing. All humanity then becomes corrupt and sinful. Through Adam's sin, all humanity really does become corrupt in their hearts and sinful in their behavior. This is something that moves throughout all humanity. Now look at verse 13, Romans 5, 13. Here's how Paul says it. He says, "For until the law, sin was in the world." And what he means, if we look at the context, before there was any written code, before there was any written law, sin was still in the world. Sin was still taking place. Sin was in the world. Sin was present. Sin was ongoing. Folks, sin was in the hearts of men. And all people became sinful in their nature and in their behavior. Now, this truth is not the dominant theme in this passage, but this truth is very clear elsewhere in the Scripture. For example, hold your place in Romans 5 and turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2. The Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 2, he's writing to believers, and he describes to them what their lives were like before they came to Christ. Ephesians chapter 2, begin and follow as I look at verse 1, actually verses 1 through 3. Look what Paul says. He says, "And you he made alive," he's talking to believers, "and you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins." Folks, before we were in Christ, before we trusted in Christ, you know what that means? We were dead. Dead in trespasses and sins. He says, "in which you once walked or lived according to the course of this world." You see, before we were in Christ, before we became Christians, we were dead in our trespasses and sins, and we walked according to the purpose and the plan and the course of this world. And then he said this, "according to the prince of the power of the air." Who is that? That's Satan. So we walked according to the power of Satan, the spirit who now works, look what he says, "in the sons of disobedience." Before we came to Christ, we were sons, or we were children of disobedience. And then he says, "among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh." All of us. If I would put it in my own words, it would be this. We all did what we wanted to do. We all did what pleased us. We all went our own way. That's what Paul's saying. See, that's how unsaved people live. That's how unbelievers live. That's how people live who don't have Christ. Among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. Not only did we want to do it, we did it. And then he says, and we're by nature children of wrath, just as the others. Look at that last phrase. By nature, children of wrath. Folks, what that means is that something happened to us in the sin of Adam that altered our human nature. It changed our human nature. Because we do not just do sins. We are by nature sinners, corrupt, depraved, bent, rebellious. We're sinners by action. We're sinners by nature. Within us, there is sin. Now go back to Romans and go back to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. And look at verse 9. Paul makes a statement here that helps us. Romans chapter 3 verse 9. And he says this, Romans 3 verse 9. Well, what then? Are we better than they? Not at all. For we have previously charged both Jews and Greeks that they are all under sin. Now this phrase, both Jews and Greeks, is Paul's way of saying everyone. So he says, he's charged everyone, both Jews and Greeks, and look at this, that they are all under sin. Do you see that? They're all under sin. And because all, everyone, is under sin, then Paul makes this statement in verse 10. He says, as it is written, there is none righteous. No, not one. Not one, because we are all under sin. We all have that sin nature. We all have that part of us, that disposition that is in rebellion against God. All of us are in that condition, and therefore there's none righteous. No, not one. And folks, we don't just do sins, but we're under the power of sin. See, we are by nature unrighteous. I was talking to some parents there a couple weeks ago, and we touched on this truth of this indwelling sin and this nature of sin, and the statement went something like this: why in the world do you think you have to teach your kids to do right? Because by nature they'll do wrong. And why by nature will they do wrong? Because they are sinners by nature. And so we teach them, and we correct them, and we tell them what is righteous and what is good and what is right. We are by nature unrighteous. In Romans chapter 6, Paul says that we're not just sinners, but we're slaves of sin. And folks, this is the condition of all human beings since the first man sinned. And folks, I would submit to you this morning that this is the answer to the condition of our world today. This is the answer. This is the answer as we look at the wickedness and the evil in our world today. Folks, this is the answer to ISIS. This is the answer to ethnic genocide. This is the answer to abortion. This is the answer to war between nations. This is the answer to organized crime. This is the answer to child abuse and divorce and the homosexual movement and immorality and murder and gossip and greed and tax evasion and slander and disobedience to parents and disregard for civil laws, and the list can go on and on and on. This is the answer. This is the reason. This is why we are the way that we are. Our nature is sin. Our disposition is hostility to God, and our hearts are in rebellion against our Creator. And so you as people today, when you leave today and you look around the world and you watch the evening news and you look at the newspaper and you begin to say, why is all this happening? This is why it happens. Because by nature, we are sinners. Now what this means is then that there are two things that need a remedy. First of all, we need a remedy for this sinful nature that corrupts us and enslaves us to sin. And then second, we need a remedy for our original guilt and sin and condemnation that is rooted in our connection with Adam and his sin. And so there has to be two remedies. Now the book of Romans and the whole Bible is the record of how God has worked in history to remedy these two problems. You see, the problem of our condemnation in Adam, God remedies through justification by faith in Jesus Christ. We're condemned. We're guilty. In Adam, we're condemned, but in Christ, we're righteous. You see, God provides the remedy. The problem of our corruption and our depravity, God remedies through what we call sanctification by the Spirit. He changes us. He transforms us. Let me put it another way. The problem of our legal guilt and condemnation before God is solved by God imputing or counting to us the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and the problem of our moral defilement and our habitual sinning is solved by God purifying us by the work of the Holy Spirit. And so God has provided the remedy. God has provided the cure. Isn't it amazing that you can look at the truth of the Word of God and you almost feel like there's a weight on you when you begin to think, I'm a sinner and I'm a sinner by nature and I'm a sinner by behavior. And then you can look at the same passage or in the same course of study and you can find out, but praise God, He's given the remedy. Amen. Praise God, He's done something about our problems. So the first remedy, justification, comes by imputed righteousness. And the second remedy, sanctification, comes by imparted righteousness. And we understand that justification is instantaneous. And then we understand that sanctification is progressive. And folks, they're not identical and they're not separable. Justification comes first by faith, prior to any deeds done by us in righteousness. And by this we are forgiven and we are put right with God legally, and we are acquitted and counted righteous with Christ's righteousness. That is justification. And then on the basis of that legal righteous standing and that reconciled standing with God, we are gradually then transformed into the likeness of His Son, Jesus Christ. Another way to say it, God declares us to be righteous in justification, and then He makes us righteous through sanctification. You see, that's what God does. He provides the remedy. And both justification and sanctification are by faith. And what that means is that the faith that unites us to Jesus Christ for justification also breaks the power of sin in our lives. Trusting Christ is our link to God's justifying grace, and trusting Christ is our link to God's sanctifying grace. We are both pardoned and purified by the same kind of faith. And that's why the Apostle Paul said that we must walk by faith. That's why the Apostle Paul said in Colossians chapter 2 that we are to live or to walk in the same way that we received Christ, or we received the gospel. And we do that by grace through faith. When we begin to understand what God has done for us through Jesus Christ, then it's natural and it's obvious that praise and exaltation and boasting and thankfulness should be entirely in God through Jesus Christ. Folks, this salvation from sin is completely and entirely and truly by God's grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Now, we could end right there, but there is one other point I'd like to give. I'd like for us to examine some benefits of understanding our depravity. Now, you need to think through this, because, see, we don't often think about our sinfulness. We don't often think about our depravity. As a matter of fact, as human beings, we don't really want to think about those things. But yet, there are benefits of understanding this depravity. How will understanding our sinful condition and its depravity actually help us? Let me give you several ways it'll help us. First of all, understanding our depravity humbles us. And humility is always good. Amen. Humility brings glory to God. See, not only do we do bad things, but we are bad. We not only need natural training, but we need supernatural birth. Amen. There's something about us that needs to die, and something needs to be created. We are deeply in need of something that is absolutely beyond what we can produce in ourselves. And so this whole doctrine of original sin and this reality of indwelling sin should humble us. Because there is no one here today that is better than the other person. There is no one here today that's different. Because if we look at our condition in sin, all of us are connected with Adam. All of us have this sin nature. Now stay with me. That's a benefit because it humbles us. Here's a second benefit. Understanding our depravity increases our gratitude for salvation. See, the more that we know about our fallen condition, the more grateful we should be that God saved us. And that's why Paul cries out in Romans chapter 6, verse 17, "But thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart." See, we're not just sinners, but we are slaves to sin. And God has saved us from that sin, and God has saved us from that slavery. And you know what that's called? It's called freedom. Freedom from sin and freedom from slavery. And that should bring gratitude and thankfulness from us. Here's a third benefit. Understanding our depravity helps us understand the world that we live in, and we've touched upon this. This doctrine of original sin is hard to understand. It's hard to comprehend, but it explains most of what we see in the world today. And what we see is the universal existence and the reality of evil. And people who understand what we have studied together in the last few weeks are not baffled by history. They're not baffled by the evening news. They understand what's happening in the world and why it's happening in the world. Folks, history and our world today, they're covered with the devastating effects of sin and evil and wickedness in mankind. That's what's happening in the world today. Here's a fourth benefit. Understanding our depravity gives us insight into how governments should best be established. You see, this teaching of original sin is the basis of a government where power is spread out over many people. And so the best argument for a republic or a democracy is not that men are good enough to govern themselves, but the fact is, and our founders knew this, that men are so bad that none can be trusted with absolute power. And therefore the government, our government, was established with that doctrine in mind. Here's a fifth benefit. Understanding our depravity produces a compassion for others. You think through what we've looked at in the last several weeks. This teaching of original sin and complete depravity teaches us to think no worse of others than of ourselves. And it teaches us that we are all, by nature, companions in a miserable, helpless condition, which without the divine mercy of God, there would be no mistake, no escape. And therefore, it moves those who have received this mercy and long-suffering and forgiveness and forbearance to show the same to other people. And folks, I'll say it very plain. It is very hard to treat other sinners with contempt and lovelessness when we have a clear understanding of our own fallen condition. And then finally, understanding this doctrine will help motivate us in telling others of the remedy. There is a remedy. You see, it moves us to evangelism, to world missions. It teaches us that there are no exceptions to human sinfulness. It teaches us that the remedy is good for people in Iowa City. And it's good for people in North Liberty or West Liberty or even West Virginia. It's good. It's the remedy. It's the only answer for this world. All who come from Adam are in need of the second Adam. And the second Adam is Jesus Christ. And there is no other way to get right with God but through God's one remedy, faith in Jesus Christ. And praise God, He has revealed this remedy. He has shown it to us. It's plain what we should do. We should tell other people. We should make disciples of all the nations. We should proclaim the good news of Jesus. Amen. And folks, what that means is that today you are either connected to Adam or you are connected to Christ. Every person in this room, you're either connected to Adam or connected to Christ. Today, you will either live under the judgment and the condemnation of sin through Adam, or today you will live under the forgiveness and reconciliation of the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ. Today, you will live under the slavery of sin and the rule of death, or today you will live under the freedom and the rule of grace through righteousness of Jesus Christ. And so I ask you this morning, what will it be for you today, right now? Sin and death through Adam, or grace and righteousness and life through Jesus Christ? Where are you today? Let's bow our heads. God, our Father, you know the hearts of people. And it's true that, Father, you know our hearts better than we do. And yet in this room, right now, you have brought together a group of people. God, I pray this morning that in your great mercy and grace that you will give light to those who are blind. Father, that you will shine upon those who are in darkness. And Father, if there is anyone here today who is not in Christ Jesus, that today you would give them light and life through Jesus Christ. And Father, we pray for those who are in Christ. And God, I pray that the reminder that we've had this morning from your word, as we've looked at Romans 5, and we've drawn conclusions from Romans 5, that our lives will be different. Yeah. Father, thank you for the transforming power of your Spirit through your word. Thank you, Father, that you just don't justify us, but you also sanctify us. And you make us the people that you want us to be. And Father, I praise you for that. And look forward to what you're doing right now in lives here today. We give you glory and honor and praise in the name of the only one that can bring us to you, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Let's sing.